Welcome to another inspirational message from Pastor Ron Hammonds, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
Well, tonight, I'm going to answer a question tonight, and tonight we are going to be in the book of Judges. Judges begin in chapter 6, and the question I'm going to ask tonight is, where are the miracles? Where are the miracles? You know, this is a reasonable question to ask. You may remember in Judges 4 and 5, there was a prophetess, if you're familiar with this part of the Bible, named Deborah, who led the children of Israel basically in a great victory. And this victory that they had, was over the Canaanites. And Jael, one of my favorite Bible characters there, if you remember the story perhaps, if not, please read Genesis 4 and 5 when you get time. It's a wonderful story. It tells the same story twice, once in prose and once in poetry, in a song. But Jael drove that tent peg through the captain of the Canaanite army through his head, and it's just a powerful expression of how God uses us. And we become great in our ordinary. We become great in the everyday, day in and day out things, in the humdrum, boring things of life. How becoming great in your ordinary will qualify you for extraordinary. And one of the great lessons in the Bible. But as it happens, even though the children of Israel were delivered from their last enemy, guess what? A new enemy came along. This new enemy was a conglomerate of enemies. They were the Amalekites and the Midianites, and the Bible says other armies from the east. All those ites, all right? If you were standing at the Jordan River and looking toward the east, then all of those areas now that you would see as Jordan and Saudi Arabia and Syria and Iraq, Iran, they were all filled with other ites during that time. And the Amalekites and the Midianites and other armies from the east, they had plagued Israel. And they had been plaguing Israel between chapter 5 and chapter 6. They had been coming into Israel for 7 years. And this is what they would do. They would come in and eat everything they could and destroy all the crops. Every time harvest time came, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and other armies from the east would come in and not only eat everything they could, but ravage the land, destroy the crops that they could not eat or take with them, and they would also take all of the animals that they could find, all of the sheep, the cattle, the camels, and take them all back. I mean, they have been doing this 7 years in a row. The Bible says, if we were to read on in chapter 6, 7, and 8, we would find out that the Bible tells us that these enemies, there were so many of them that they looked like a swarm of locusts. Their camels were so many that they were riding when they came in. It's likened to an infinite number, an incalculable number. You could not number them all. In fact, the Bible says they were looked like grains of sand on the seashore, how many camels there were. We know later on, we'll read it later on, a verse, that there was at least 135,000 of these enemy soldiers that had come into the land. Okay? 7 years in a row. Okay? Things were bad. In fact, the Israelites, during those 7 years, they learned to get a little smarter. They started having to hide their food. And hide their harvest, hide their animals. They had to hide anything that they did not want the Midianites, the Amalekites, to take back with them. And so this had become the habit. Well, wouldn't you know, that people under pressure, God's people under pressure, God's people with problems, okay? God's people who are suffering pain and worry and loss and fear and disappointment, they turn to God. Well, the Israelites turned to God during these 7 years. At the end of 7 years, actually, they turned to God and they began to pray, "Oh, God, help us." And God sent them a prophet. And God said, "Listen, you know, I told you, I am the God that delivered your forefathers from Egypt, and I did, you know, did miracles, and I helped you, and I helped you. Don't you remember? I am the God that really helped you, and you forgot about me. You forgot about me. You know, you started doing things that I really didn't approve of." You know, it's never a good idea, even whenever you are a born-again child of God, it's never a good idea to start doing things you know better than doing. Hello? Yeah. Still a good message for today. But this is what had happened. So he sent a prophet to him. God sent a prophet as they cried out after 7 years. They cried, God sent a prophet and said, you know, here's the problem. But wouldn't you know it? God is such a caring, loving, and forgiving God. He's moved by our prayers. He's moved by our pain. He's moved by our problems. He's moved by the predicaments of life, even if we caused them. Even if we had something to do with it, God is still moved by our prayers. Don't ever pull up short from praying. Don't ever imagine God does not want you to talk to Him about something. God is moved, easily moved, the Bible says, with the feelings of your infirmities. That means the things that hurt you hurt Him. He is easily touched, the Bible says, with how you feel whenever you don't feel good. So don't ever imagine, even if you caused it, even if you fail, even if you were the problem, don't imagine that God does not want to talk to you about it and that He does not want to help you fix it. He does. This is one of the great lessons in the first 10 verses of the 6th chapter of Judges. We pick up with the 11th verse. The 11th verse, reading from the New King James Version, says this. Now, on top of sending the prophet to tell them, "Hey, I've heard your prayers, and I can help." Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Now get a picture here. Gideon is hiding from the Midianites in an enclosed area, the place where you normally press grapes. And he's threshing a little wheat, trying to get a little food for him and his family and the servants. And he's hiding it from the Midianites. Verse 12, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" You hero. That's what he's saying. The Lord's with you. You are a hero. Yeah, he's hiding. afraid he's going to be robbed. The Lord is with you. You're a hero. Gideon said to the angel of the Lord, "Oh, my Lord." Okay, I kind of did the voice inflection. "Oh, my Lord." You know, he's actually, if you translated that, it would be saying, "Sir," that's what it means. "Sir," you know, "hey, buddy, sir, if the Lord," you know, capital letters Lord, different than the little letters Lord. "If Jehovah," if the Lord God Jehovah is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all His miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Wow. That's what Gideon said. "Hey, you mighty man of valor. Hey, you're a hero. Hey, buddy, the Lord is with you. Oh, my Lord. If God was with us, do you think we'd be having these problems? Do you think this would have happened? Do you think, you know, if the Lord was with us, where are all the miracles? Boy, that's something that we could say even in church these days. Oh, the Lord was really there, wasn't he? Well, if he really was, and the Lord was really with America, if the Lord was really in that service, if the Lord was really in that, well, why are we having all this trouble? Where are all the miracles? Y'all okay? All right. Everybody out there in online, okay, that's a real question. Where are all the miracles? Where are all the miracles? You see, Gideon was looking for the same miracles that people are looking for today. He was looking for the same miracles that the generation after generation of the children of Israel had been looking for. He was looking for the same miracles that the disciples were looking for whenever Jesus said, I am the Messiah. And they went, oh, great, you know, we're going to sit on some thrones here, you know, boom. You know, he was just looking, what was Gideon looking for? The same miracles you and I look at. He was looking for no more injustice. He was wanting to know, when is this injustice going to stop? He was saying, you know, well, when are we going to get to the place where we don't have any more trouble? You know, no more enemies, no more sickness, no more disease, no more money problems, no more pain, no more loss, no more disappointments, no more frustrations, no more irritations. You know, he was looking for heaven. Heaven on earth. As I said, the disciples of Jesus, as well as the whole nation of Israel, for generation after generation, looked for the same things. And this is what Gideon's looking for. If the Lord is with us, then why then has all this happened to us? Isn't that many times what we wonder today? Do you know how many people say that, you know, God is no longer with America? Look at America. God is no longer with a generation. God maybe even just turned his back on the whole world. God does not let sinful people determine his future. And we should not let them determine ours. Where are all the miracles? Well, look around, Gideon. Come on, Gideon. Put yourself in Gideon's shoes tonight. Let's do an overlay. Let's make you the Gideon, okay? Look around. Look around. Miracles are happening all around you, Gideon. In Gideon's life specifically, how about the visit from the angel of the Lord? That seems like a miracle to me. Where are all the miracles? Whoa, hey, hold on. You just got a visitation from the angel of the Lord. Okay? You just had a prophet sent to you from God that said, I've heard your prayers and I'm going to lead you out of this. I'm going to help you fix this. Those are pretty big miracles. Getting a word from God is a pretty big miracle, you know? And later on, if you read the story, if you kept reading, you would find out that Gideon said, hey, listen. You know, if you have really called me to do this, hang right there. I want to go and get an offering and bring back. And so the angel said, I'll wait on you. You know, I mean, Gideon ran and got some food and made some broth and came and brought it back, poured it out on a rock and put that meat on the rock and poured the broth. And the rock of fire came out of it and consumed it. And Gideon still wanted to know where miracles are. You know, Gideon went and, if you read the story, he went and broke down the altar of Baal and established an altar to Jehovah. Where are the miracles? That seems like a miracle to me. When you can go into a town or a city or a community or a family and you can establish righteousness, it seems like a miracle to me when people are changing their lives and getting born again and when they're, you know, giving their lives to Christ and things are changing. Whenever the devil's being run out of their family and Jesus is coming into their life, it looks like a miracle to me. Where are the miracles? They're all around us. If you read, you'll find out that because he tore down the altar of Baal, some of the town folks got angry. And they were going to take vengeance out upon him. And Gideon's father got an idea. Words of wisdom. Where did those come from? Of course, they came from God. And he told the men of the city, he said, listen, I tell you what, rather than y'all punish him for tearing down the altar of Baal, let's let Baal punish him. If Baal is really a god, let's leave. Let's put him in Baal's hands. If Baal truly is a god, let Baal defend himself. Now, that's a pretty huge miracle, because all the men of the city went, yeah, good idea, okay. And they even changed Gideon's name to let Baal get him. Where does the inspiration come for people, your enemies, and those who would hurt you, to change their minds about you? Miracles are all around us. God is speaking your name in favor and blessing. Your Heavenly Father is speaking your name and blessing you and giving you favor behind the scenes every day. I hardly a day goes by that I don't see some favor and some blessing poured out upon people in our church, people in my family, myself included. You know, Gideon just didn't see it. He was still wondering if God really cared about Israel. And he's right in the middle of all this miracle. Gideon was looking at sinful people and wondering if God even cared. Why? Because he had his eyes on all the sinful people around him. We've got to get our eyes off of the sinners and our eyes off of the problems and our eyes off of the pain and on to what God is doing all around us. We can't be wondering where God is and determine that by where people are. What a nut. Gideon had his eyes on the wrong things. Don't get your eyes on the wrong things. Judges chapter 6, verse 33. Wouldn't you know it, about the time that Gideon is, you know, wondering, God's doing all these miracles, and Gideon's wondering, is God with us? Is God with us? If he's, you know, why is this happening to us? Verse 33, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people from the east gathered together. They crossed over the Jordan, basically, and camped in the valley of Jezreel, you know, close to Mount Tabor, Mount Gilboa. Verse 34, but the Spirit of God came up on Gideon. Miracle. I mean, he's wondering, when is all this going to stop? When is all this going to, you know, when, you know, is God with us? The Spirit of God came upon Gideon, and then he blew the trumpet. And the Baezrites gathered behind him, all of his clan and family. In fact, people came from other tribes. He blew a trumpet with an anointing. He put a trumpet to his mouth with such an anointing that 32,000 men came and said, "We're willing to fight. We're willing to fight this army of 135,000 people with only 32,000 of us. Let's fight." That's a pretty good anointing, isn't it? You know, we're willing to, you know, walk into Nineveh. And if we're the only one to say that, hey, listen, you can repent. We're willing, you know, and then Sodom and Gomorrah for the sake of, you know, 10 righteous people. You know, here he's crying out. He's got this trumpet to his mouth. And 32,000 people get together and say, "We are willing to fight." Well, that trumpet, that anointed, the Spirit of God came upon Gideon and he blew the trumpet. That anointed word that comes out of the mouth of God's messengers, it changes lives. Even if there were just 32,000 in a community of 150,000, yet you could change that whole nation and deliver it by the anointing. But Gideon needed more confirmations. He still didn't see the miracles. He said, "God, if you're really going to do this with these men, Lord, how about some confirmations?" Well, what a nut. I mean, he's already so far into this. He's already so far into this miracle, miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, and he's missing it. He's missing all that God is doing. He's missing that all that God has done in his family, all that God has done in his community, all that God is doing in his nation, all that God has planned, all that God has promised. He's looking around and wondering, you know, does God even care? Does God even know I'm here? Does God even imagine? In the middle of a miracle. So he says, God, I need another confirmation or two. I'm going to take this fleece and I'm going to lay it out. And if I get up in the morning and it's all wet and the ground is all dry, then I'll know it's you. So he gets up the next morning, the ground is dry, and he squeezes out a whole bowl full of water out of the fleece. He says, well, God, you know, I mean, a miracle, right? Well, God, still not sure. How about, Lord, that we reverse it tonight? I'll put a fleece out, and if the ground is all wet and muddy all around it, and that fleece is as dry as a bone, then I'll know it's you. So that happened, and it was so. So he got the next morning and went, oh, okay. As if that was not enough. He gets these 32,000 men all rare and ready to go and fight, and then God says to him, you got too many men. Wait, I've only got 32,000. Too many. I don't want them to think that they did it. Oh, my. God says, I want you to tell them if any of them are afraid or tired or weary or they just don't want to go. Tell them to go home. 22,000 of them went home. He's left with 10,000. Talk about a miracle. That 22,000 could go home and 10,000 would be willing to go up against 135,000 plus. Okay. In the middle of a miracle, that God could so inspire 10,000 men that they are willing to go up against, you know, men who look like swarms of locusts who have for 7 years been devouring the land, that all of a sudden that the Spirit of God could inspire 10,000 to go out to battle against all this great army, these great armies. Now, I think that's a miracle. I think I'm in the middle of a miracle just because, you know, we have people show up on Wednesday night and Sunday morning and are willing to participate. Do you know people come to church after they've worked all day on Wednesday? They come to church early and they prepare to sing, you know, and they play and they sit and listen here and they sign on and watch online, and they give money. That's just the craziest thing I've ever heard. That's as crazy as the 10,000 men being willing to go out and fight. Now there's a miracle. I never doubt I'm in the middle of a miracle. Every time I come to church and look out there and there's people here, I'm going, I'm in the middle of a miracle. It's a miracle that the Lord would inspire, a miracle that the Lord would use us, call us, work through us. So he's got these 10,000 men, right? And he's already, and God said, whoop, 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 whoop. Judges 7, verse 4. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Some of you know the story. It ends up that God tells Gideon, take them down, you know, to the water and I'll divide them. And so it ends up that 9,700 of those people are called out. He's left with 300 people. 300 men. Now either this is lunacy or it's a miracle from God. The miracle is that Gideon would even think about going to war with 300 men. He was a man of faith and he didn't even realize it. He was a man that really trusted the word of the Lord. It did something on the inside of him, but in his head, he was still going, okay, all right, I'm not sure. Because this is not the last time that he's going to need confirmation. And he's got 300 men now that are willing to go up against 135,000 men. And he's not even going to give one of them a sword or a spear or a bow. He's going to give them a trumpet and a clay jar that has a candle in it, a torch in it, one in one hand and one in the other. These people are crazy. They're about as crazy as you are. They've heard from God. They're in the middle of a miracle. They're in the middle of something that is bigger than them, something that's inspiring them, something that is making them get up and do another day, something that is causing them to keep believing and keep praying and keep working and keep trusting and keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on and just go shopping one more time, Joe. Come on, just go down there one more time and load one more box, Joe. Believing that you're making a difference. Believing you're in the middle of a miracle. You've been 30 plus years down there handing out food every week. You never have to doubt where God is. He is right there with you. My, my, my. So now he's only got 300. In Judges 7, verse 16, then Gideon divided the 300 men into three companies. He put a trumpet into every man's hand. Thank you. With empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. They had a trumpet in one hand and pitchers and torches in the other. Gideon and his army, they were seemingly ill-equipped. While Gideon was wondering and Gideon was in constant need of confirmation, he was hesitating, and so God said, listen, I tell you what. You got these 300 men divided into different companies, but you're still having a few problems. I want you to take your buddy and go down to the enemy's camp and get as close as you can and listen to what they're saying. And so he did, and the enemy down there, somebody said, hey, listen, I had a dream last night. God gave their enemy a dream. Now talk about a miracle. That God is giving your enemies dreams that you're going to defeat them, that they're not going to win. And when Gideon heard the dream, and he said, oh my goodness. And the enemy said, this is nothing less than Gideon. Gideon is going to come and destroy us. And Gideon said, okay, one more confirmation. Let's go back. Okay, guys, we're going to get down there about midnight, and we're going to surround the place, all right? And here's what I want you to do. You know, listen, these guys, as I said, all they had was a light and a trumpet. And the light was covered up at that moment. God just needs someone to lift up a voice and someone to be a light in the darkness. It was midnight. It was at midnight, a dark time. 150,000 men in the camp. 135 at least, but where are all the miracles? They are everywhere. They are everywhere. They're all around us every day. Every day. Gideon just couldn't see it. Many times we don't see it. Many times we just don't see that God is helping us. He's opening doors. He's doing things all around us all the time. God is everywhere in everything, working his plan. And what he needs is he needs someone just to lift up the light. You know, someone just to lift up a voice, be a light in the darkness. God needs a little help here. He's going to do it, but he's going to need us to get engaged and involved. That's his plan, always has been, still is today. Whether it's the Garden of Eden when he said to Adam and Eve, keep and till and guard and take care of and multiply the garden. I want you to take care of it. I gave it to you, but I want you to take care of it. Or whether it's going to all the world. Make disciples of all nations and feed the hungry and clothe the naked and give water to the thirsty and, you know, whatever it may be. Well, Judges 7, verse 20. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers at midnight surrounding the army there. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands. As far as I know, back in those days, you only had two hands. Okay, they held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And every man stood in his place all around the camp, And the whole army of the enemies ran and cried out and fled. And when the 300 blew their trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp, and the army fled. The enemy just started killing one another. They just started destroying each other. Chaos and running and, you know, Judges 8. Let me cut to the chase here as we're concluding our message tonight. Judges 8, verse 10. Now Zeba and Zalmunna, who were leaders and kings, were at Karkor, and their armies with them, about 15,000. All who were left of all the army of the people of the east, for 120,000 men who drew the sword had already fallen. There's your 135,000. Thus, verse 28, kind of the end of this little reading tonight. Thus Midian was subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted their heads no more, and the country, talking about the land of Israel, talking about the promised land, was quiet for 40 years in the days of Gideon. Let me assure you that you're in the middle of a miracle. Don't stop, don't quit, keep going. It may look like, you know, trouble, injustice. You know, you may be going through something difficult and disappointing and hurtful and hard, you know, but don't stop going. God is with you. God loves you. God cares about you. He has a plan for your life. And if you will cry out to Him, even if you caused the problem that you are currently facing, God will hear you. He will answer you. He will help you. He will help you. He is the God of miracles. You know, you are in the middle of a miracle, and you are on your way to an even greater miracle. Your greatest day is yet ahead. Let me give you three takeaways from this passage. Number one tonight, when bad things happen, it does not mean that God does not care. Okay? When bad things happen, it does not mean that God does not care. He will hear you. He will listen to you. He will answer you. Number two, sinful people will not determine the end result. Don't let some sinner or some sinful group of people or the world and its sinfulness, don't let sinful others determine or make you think that they determine the end. They don't. Okay? God does. Number three, God needs us to lift up our voice, and He needs us to be a light in this present darkness. It's a difficult day in this world, and the Bible says it's going to get worse. It's going to get darker. You know, things are going to wax worse, the Bible says. The world will wax worse and worse. This is an evil and an adulterous generation. But good news, the church gets stronger and stronger. Our light gets brighter and brighter, not dimmer and dimmer, brighter and brighter. People come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We are here for a reason. We are going forth in our community and communities like ours all around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that God loves you and has a plan for your life, and Jesus Christ will forgive you and save your soul. He will do it right now if you will but ask Him. How do we do this? How do we go into all the world? Why? We do it because the world needs to know, and Jesus has left us marching orders. The only marching orders the church has is to go and make disciples. That's why. How do we do it? We do it because of the 300 that are willing, inspired, many times more, many times a lot more, 32,000, We call that a Gideon revival, by the way, when you start out with 32,000 people and you end up with 300. Sometimes we tease with other pastors who have gone through, church situations and problems that their church, all of a sudden, yeah, there's a Gideon revival for you. One pastor was asked, how many people do you have? He said, how many people are with you? He said, I got about, maybe 120 with me. He said, man, I thought you had a church of 3,000. He said, oh, I thought you asked how many are with me. You know, sometimes it goes from 32,000 and 22,000 are afraid and don't want to be there and would be somewhere else if they had a chance. They'd love to go back home. Sometimes there are others that God, just says, okay, right now I'm going to put those on the shelf. I'll use them somewhere else a little later. And he did. If you read Gideon, he called later for that 10,000 and that 32,000 from those tribes and other people came and helped to complete the victory by chasing others, including the Zeb and Zalmunna. You know, Gideon didn't actually, put his hand on Oreb and Zeb. That was done by Ephraim and Manasseh. At another place at the crossing of the Jordan. Listen, God has plans for everybody. And this is how we reach out around the world. We do it, because of you being inspired. I pray that you are inspired. I pray that you realize that God is using you. Where are all the miracles? They're all around us. If you're in a situation right now where you need God to do something in your life, believe me, He will. It starts out by making Him the Lord of your life. If you have not been saved, please get saved. If you have not been serious, please get serious. It doesn't mean you're going to be weird. It doesn't mean you have to change everything in your life. It just means you need to give God first place in your life. Just yield to Him. Just yield. I'm going to pray a prayer of yielding right now to Him. Just yield yourself to Him. Father, Lord, we yield, Lord, our lives to You, sir. Lord, for those that are not sure if they're born again, Lord, I pray, God, that You would just, Lord, lead them and inspire them, Lord, to invite You into their heart. Just simply say, Lord, come into my heart, Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Teach me how to live, what to do. I'll do my best, Lord. Show me, Lord. And God, for those, Lord, who need to get serious about You in another area of their life, Father, or God, turn their whole life over to You. Someone in a situation, Lord, that's, Lord, even they caused, they contributed to, Lord, don't let that, Lord, keep them outside of the envelope of calling upon You. Hear the word of the Lord that God has delivered your forefathers. He will deliver you. Oh, mighty man, mighty woman of valor. Heroes, heroines. Yes, You are. Yes, You are. The Lord is with you. Mighty men, mighty women of God. The Lord is with you. And your greatest day is yet ahead. Lord, we receive it. Miracles, Lord, all around us. And bring us to the greatest miracle of all, sir. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for another encouraging word from Pastor Ron Hammonds. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.